Could I please invite you to turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. For the past weeks, we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit listed in our second reading, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And I hope we can still remember all the fruits, because today we are taking the last part of this sermon series. But that is not in any way an attempt to say we are ending the emphasis. But we are simply ending the series. But we do hope that we'll go into the world each day to live out these fruits. Now, if you can remember the fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And perhaps I might just pause to ask which of these fruits that you are closely or that closely appeals to you, which of them? I hear people say, you know, I like patience, I like kindness, I like gentleness or goodness. But you know, the emphasis we've made over the weeks is that the fruit is not called fruits, it is fruit. And so it does not leave us with any choice of picking and mixing. So there's no chance for us as people of God to say, you know, I'm not good at patience, and I don't really like any talk about patience, but I'm okay with love. Or maybe you say, I like kindness, but I don't really want to talk about gentleness or self-control. It comes in a pack. You pick one, you pick all. And we have also mentioned that the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of a nation, it is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit sums up the nine attributes which the Holy Spirit produces in the lives of people who believe in Jesus Christ. And so it is the Holy Spirit that produces it, not us. And so all we do is yield ourselves in this service and in the days to come to lay our lives open, to say to the Holy Spirit, we are unable, work in us. The word self-control does not mean, and that is something that is really important and very challenging here, it does not mean self in control. It does not mean I do it my own way. This is me. I'm in charge. I do it the way I want to do it. It is not self in control, but it is self under the control of the Holy Spirit. I think it's really important that we get the point here. It is not self in control. It is self under the control of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul seems to have been impressed by the stamina and skills of athletes. And we see this in our first reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so he draws an analogy from the life of athletes. Their self-control involves an aim, a list of training rules, and constant sustained effort. The athlete runs so he or she can win a prize that soon withers. The Christian has an incorruptible prize, the prize of eternal life. And this is all the greater reason for self-control. Paul is not in any way advocating for monastic kind of life, withdrawal from society, or what sometimes is described as antisocial. That is not what he's advocating for. Because if you read the history of monasticism, you also discover the problems that arose from that in the 4th, 5th, 6th century of Christianity. And so he's not asking us to withdraw from the world, but the Bible says that we are in the world, but not of the world. Underlying the word self-control is the idea of self-restraint, mastery of one's personality, and a controlled and disciplined nature. It is an attitude of self-restraint. When we have a goal that is extremely important to us, we do what it takes. For instance, if our goal is to lose some weight, then we stick to our diet and we also stick to our exercise plan. During his term as the 36th president of the United States from 1963 to 1969, Lyndon B. Johnson, who was popularly called LBJ, was somewhat overweight. And one day his wife challenged him with this blunt assertion: "You can't run the country if you can't run yourself." Respecting Mrs. Johnson's wise observation, the president lost 23 pounds. A self-controlled life not only requires positive goals, it also requires discipline. And we see this in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Every Christian practices self-control in all things in order to gain imperishable prize. I am sure that every goal you have ever accomplished involved some kind of self-control. Now, remember when you got your driver's license? And for some of us, we didn't write the theory. We simply went to the practical. And when you did that, you did not just get into the car, leave your seatbelt off, pop the car off. Maybe you may have wanted to do that, but you could not do that because you really wanted the driver's license so badly. Now, it requires self-control to do that. And it also requires self-control to retain the driver's license. And I've had some people who say, you know, if I were to take the driving license now, I will fail. But you require self-control to retain the driver's license. The word disciple means learner or follower. And now discipline means learning and following instruction in order to accomplish something. Self-control as a fruit of the Spirit is about conforming to the expectations of God. And I'm sure many of us can relate to this. Have you ever seen a restaurant that is run down and the quality of the food is poor, and then the business is bought over by another management? What does the new management do? What they will do, most likely, will be to renovate the premises and recruit new chef. Then the new owner puts a sign in the window or somewhere and say, "Under new management." And what are they saying by putting "under new management"? They are simply saying, look, we are no longer what we used to be in the past. So conversion to Christianity and our being Christians is about self under new management. Our self is no longer under the management of Satan the enemy, but now under the management of God and through the Holy Spirit. And so we do not live again as we would have wanted to live, but we live our lives in ways that will please God. Self, under new management. Perhaps we need to write that in our houses, if we're supposed to do that. Self, under new management. We need to let our friends in schools, in families, be aware that we are now under new management. We are no longer the people we used to be in the past. In verse 27, we notice that self-control, like everything else, begins in the mind. For out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every decision, every action, every emotion comes from our heart. We must control our emotions, our bodies, and our mind. A self-controlled life means total submission to the coach and his training plan. The role of the coach is to make people do things they don't want to do to achieve the result they want to achieve. Over the week, when we were over here for badminton, I was calling one of us our coach. And I don't think she was very comfortable with that, but she was giving us training and trying to let us know how to play badminton very well. And our coach here is the Holy Spirit. He needs to have control over our lives for self-control to fully manifest. The Holy Spirit is our coach. We cannot control ourselves without him. Even professional athletes, Andy Murray, who is highly loved and cherished by many Britons, still has a coach, or maybe coaches, as it were. And all the football clubs, for those of us who are football fans, you know that every football club will have a coach. What do? They try to get the players to develop their skills. They observe them, they teach them, they train them, they correct them, and they also encourage them, just like the Holy Spirit does in our lives. When we listen and yield to the coach, the Holy Spirit, we can live a life of self-control by his power, not by our own power. And so in this service, what we need to do, is to open ourselves up to God and ask him to work in us. Thinking about the different fruit of the Spirit and the ones we find most difficult, to ask the Holy Spirit to work in us to will and to do God's good pleasures. As Christians, we bear the noble name of Christ. So let us honor him in thoughts. Let us honor him in words. Let us honor him in our deeds. My prayer today, and even in the days to come, is that our good God will grant each and every one of us the grace we need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, first for our good and for God's glory. Amen.